On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. I'm Doug Herendeen, and once again, we have this once a month where we talk with the folks at ARC Federal Credit Union. It's Money Matters. Liesl Kapphammer, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Doug.
And we have a whole year's worth of podcasts of different things about what you should know about money, what you should know about budgeting, things like that. You can find them at WRTA.com and also on the ARC Federal Credit Union website, right?
Yes, at arcfcu.org.
Okay, so you can look there. And today, Liesl wanted to focus on maybe some of the ways you can prepare for retirement. Mm-hmm. And just by the nature of talk radio, I know more of the people listening here would be interested in that than, say, some of the younger people. And that's the problem, getting younger people interested. Because luckily, when I was quite young and wet behind the ears, although I didn't think so at the time, a company bought our radio stations and they actually instituted a retirement plan. When I tell other people in radio that, they're astounded. But it was a matching contribution deal, and it eventually developed into an IRA when I left there. And if I had just kept at the same level of investment, I'd probably be doing better now than I am. I'm not going to be destitute, but I'm not going to be J. Paul Getty. This is something that if you tell the average 24-year-old, their eyes glaze over.
Right. And a lot of that is when you're just getting into your career, that's usually not where your goals are. You're thinking, I have to save for a house, or I have to save for my kids' college, or maybe I still want to further my education and I'm going for a master's. That's usually their sights are kind of set on those bigger savings goals. So that is kind of a tough thing to really drill home, is it's not as far away as you think. and it doesn't, yeah. There's never too early of a time to start saving for that. So you have to start saving, even if you're only saving a little bit, start as early as possible and keep saving and set a goal. It's easiest if you set a goal. If you have no clue what that goal should be, your best step is probably either start with some basic research on the internet, or if you feel that you've started some research, maybe it's time to reach out to a financial advisor. You know, you don't have to find the most expensive and complicated.
Or detailed, yeah.
It can be
you don't
very
need
simple.
All the bells and whistles, maybe just something to start you on the path.
Right. And like I said, there's so much information on the internet right now that you can get at least a good feel for this is where I should be heading when I'm just starting out.
There's a lot of bad information on the internet, but if you research in multiple sources, you start to see what the good versus the bad is, I guess.
And look for websites that are financial institutions, websites that are reputable. Don't go to Reddit or don't go to, you know, just...
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, don't find...
Does that thing still exist, by the way?
It just seemed to me the least reputable source of... a lot of that stuff is you never know who's putting what up, and find a financial institution. You know, ARC has a lot of financial literacy information available, and there are all kinds of other investment brokers and things like that that have good, reliable information on if you want to start saving for retirement, start here. You know, Dave Ramsey, he's got all kinds of information.
Yeah. And I would just say this. There's a Kenny Chesney song called Don't Blink where they're interviewing a 100-year-old guy about, hey, does it seem like 100 years? And I have talked to my aunt who was 100 years old, my mom who was 90 years old. And it's like, did it seem like 90 years? Did it seem like 100? Absolutely not. You get there before you know it. So if you say, I'll get around to saving some money someday, someday might get here before you know it and you haven't done anything.
Right. I know there's a saying that I've heard that if you wait until you're ready, you'll be waiting for the rest of your life.
Like just pretty much. Well, it's like I remember somebody saying, well, I'm too old to go to college. It would take me 4 years. And I'll be like 56 years old then. How old will you be if you don't go to college in 4 years?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
It's the same idea, I guess. Where do you want to start on this about? And this is something, some of these things are tips that Liesl has talked about in the past, but they apply here in getting yourself motivated to do this. I guess start a goal.
Right. Yep. Setting a goal is important. And if you want to look at where are you right now, are you fresh out of college and you have, you know, your first career-oriented type job, Are you still in school? Are you working at just a part-time job? And you're like, man, maybe I should start putting something away. Or are you 45 years old and you're thinking, oh my gosh, do I have enough saved? Where should I be at? And you know, my employer does have something, but I don't know if I'm putting enough away. Figure out where you are at in that life stage. Do you have dependents that you're going to have to support? Are you married? Anything like that that factors into it. But assess, you know, where you're at in life, and potentially there's always the average life expectancy. You know, a lot of people have to have that retirement savings last them for a few decades. So you always want to plan for the best case scenario, you know, and make sure you always think, oh, well, gosh, I'm not going to live to be 100. My grandfather is 102.
Well,
it's still ticking.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. And it's, you want to plan because you never know. And that, what if you do live to be 102? Medical science is always improving. You know, you don't know.
Could I ask you about one thing there? You said plan for the best case scenario. Maybe in my case, and it shows you my view of things, I at times have planned for the worst case scenario.
and I guess when you're talking about like saving and budgeting, it kind of...
Because if you presume a bunch of things are going to go wrong, so you better plan for it. And then if it doesn't go wrong, hey, you're ahead of the game, ain't you?
Right. I say plan for your retirement savings, best case scenario, with the caveat of, I mean, survival, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Longest term.
So we're talking about
survival.
The same thing here, just phrasing it differently.
Yeah.
All right.
Should specify.
Yeah. I suppose the biggest problem is getting used to the idea of saving a certain amount for a certain amount of time. I talked to a doctor one time about habits, and if you're trying to develop a good habit, he says it takes about 3 months before you start to get into it. But you have to push yourself in those 3 months, and after it, it's not 100% easy, but it's easier. So that would include, I guess, saving.
It can, and I believe there are some ways to kind of reduce the struggle there to make it easier, because you can automate your savings. So for people who think, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to remember that I have to put this here or put money into that account and this account? I have all these bills to pay anyway. And you can set up, because most people now get direct deposit.
Yeah.
So you can go into your online banking, and I will say this with confidence, I would say in almost all online banking situations, you can log in, bring up that account on your computer or on your phone, and say, okay, I want to set up an automatic transfer. And it's in there somewhere.
It'll ask you, do you want to do it one time? Do you want to do it twice? Do you want to do it semi-regularly?
And I know that on ARCs, it'll give you the option, the frequency, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. How often do you want to stagger this? And you just say, okay, I want $25 to come out of my checking account every 2 weeks to transfer into my savings account. And then,
or you've mentioned that you can set up a separate savings, sort of, they used to call them Christmas funds, but you could name it anything you want, butter and egg money, retirement money, vacation fund, and you could do something like that at ARC.
Right. We have a Christmas club. We have a vacation club. We have one called a special savings. Those are all separate kind of buckets that are not the same as your basic savings account. So if you want to say, okay, I'm keeping this money separate because we want to go on vacation this summer and I don't want to touch that. But because our checking accounts are linked to our savings accounts, unless there's some kind of weird circumstance. But the standard setup is you open your savings.
And you want that, by the way.
Because if there is an emergency and something comes out of your account, you weren't planning on it, then the money will pull from the savings, if there's money in the savings, will pull from that base savings account to cover something that's in the checking.
So you don't pay an overdraft.
Exactly. So if you want a separate account where you can't risk, oh, I overspent the money in my checking and now I lost the money that I was saving to go on vacation and now we don't have what was planned in there. Or the money that, if you're setting up a retirement savings, I would say don't use those particular types of accounts. We do have some traditional IRAs, some IRA certificate options. there are better with money market accounts. There are higher interest rate savings accounts for that kind of thing. But if you are just trying to do like some short-term savings goals that you can easily access without any kind of fees, the vacation club, the Christmas club, or the special savings are really good options for that. Because like I said, there's no fees to access them. There's no minimum balance requirements on them.
So. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something else. On one of the Fox News special features we run on WRTA, they were talking about knowing your retirement needs. Well, if you don't know what you're going to need later, and 40, 60 years away, you may not be able to figure it out, but you have a pretty good idea of the basics you're going to need, rent, food, heat, car, mm-hmm. Or transportation if you're not going to be driving past a certain age. But you have to have a general idea of what you might need. And the one thing that the reporter stressed was there's a bunch of online information, as you said, but be careful because they say, well, these tips work for anybody. No, it doesn't, because situation may be different.
Yeah, I would definitely beware of anything that says all this works for anybody or the magic one-size-fits-all answer to. Beware of that stuff because you do have to be, as we've said before in our previous podcasts, anything finance related is very personalized. And that, I think, is sometimes why people struggle with budgeting, because it can feel like, am I doing this right? Or your situation changes. You have to make some readjustments. Retirement, you have to look at where I work. Is there a 401k or a pension? Is there something available that I could be making use of or I could be making better use of? You know, if they have a matching option, are you contributing the max amount that your employer will match up to?
And I will tell you right now that you may say, well, that's not that much. Oh, I'm going to contribute this amount and they're going to give me 3 or 6%. That adds up.
It really does, yeah.
And it did in my case. Again, I'm not J. Paul Getty, but it was a nice thing to do when I was working for that company until they sold us some weasels, but that's another story. But and then we all had to take over, and that's a topic for another time we can ask Liesl about. It's WRTA Weekend. ARC, Federal Credit Union Money Matters. Liesl Kapphammer is here with ARC, and we're talking about certain things you have to do to get yourself prepared for retirement. And this is a lifelong thing. If you wait until retirement, you're not going to be prepared unless you hit the lottery. Okay, fine. Then everything we're telling you about here is probably out the window. But then you've got a whole other set of financial problems, which is another show some other time.
Right.
But if you start doing all this stuff, especially the younger, the better.
Right.
And one of the things you wanted to talk about was considering basic investment principles.
Right. And when you're investing, one of the most important things that you'll hear is that, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You want to look at different options. Whenever you have like a 401k through your employer, it's nice because if you're not someone who's very investment savvy, your employer will pick those investments that those funds go into. If you are more investment savvy, maybe those aren't the investments you would have chosen, or maybe they give you a little bit of leeway in choosing some of those investments. But whenever you want to get into dabbling in the stock market, you have to do a little bit of research on what are you going to buy? What do you feel is a good investment? Or maybe it's going to be high risk, but I want to try putting some money in this.
How do you determine your risk tolerance for this stuff? I've never been able to figure that out myself, although I suppose with some of the stuff that I was in, you know, mutual funds or whatever, some were riskier than others, and some had a great return, and some tanked.
Yeah, the basic rule is that you don't want to invest, when you're talking about like stock market, things like that, you don't want to invest more than you could lose and be okay with. It's like gambling, right?
Yeah.
If you invest or buy $1,000 worth of a certain stock, and that just goes belly up, or you lose $800 of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that? Could you take that financial hit, or is that more than you could handle financially?
I think,
like, are you really going to hurt?
If you invest money, if you deposit money at ARC Federal Credit Union, mm-hmm. And we can talk about this a little bit later, but there's something called the NCUA. It's like the FDIC, but
exactly.
It's for credit unions, and the money is protected. If you invest in a mutual fund, you could lose everything. But you could also get a lot more return because there's more risk, so you get more of a return.
Mm-hmm.
It, it's commensurate. You don't get to say, oh, I want something completely safe, but it's going to give me millions of dollars in return on 10 bucks. That doesn't work.
No. The get-rich-quick schemes are always a giant red flag. Run away from those. But the stock market itself, historically, has always had a gain. I mean, if you look at it since the 20s, including the crash. But it has, I think, adjusted for inflation since like 1926 or something, the average rate on stock market returns is somewhere around 10 or 11%. I forget, or something like that, adjusted
somewhere
for inflation.
I've read that as well.
So, I mean, it is long-term investments.
Yeah.
Yes. And don't expect to put your money in there and take it out in 6 months and have gained 10% in 6 months.
But an example you just gave is kind of important, too. If you put all your money into one thing, it's the old don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Diversify.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Research. And depending on what level of investment you are at, you may want to seriously consider talking to a financial advisor, financial planner. Because if you're just getting started and you're just kind of dabbling in it, you can probably do some research on financial websites or using an app like Stash or like Robinhood, I think, is one that does it, that will give you some information on starting to purchase these investments while you're making these purchases. If you say, oh, my gosh, I can't invest $500 and risk losing that, that would be too much for me. You can start smaller and learn how the market works with less risk of catastrophic failure.
And something Liesl just mentioned there briefly, but it's something that we do want to get across. You're not a financial planner. You're not an advisor yourself, and neither is ARC, but you're giving general information that will help people to make some decisions and look into what they can do. And ARC, as in any financial institution, can help you manage that at your direction. Mm-hmm. But you have to make that decision.
Right. Yeah. We want to make sure people at least have a guide for getting started in the right direction, because we find that a lot of people are just kind of floundering. They don't even know where to start. And when that happens, you potentially lose a lot of time in when you could be saving. And that's it's sad and it's unfortunate. And we don't want people to be in a situation where they're losing that opportunity. Like, oh, I could have been saving, 5 years ago when I started this job, and I missed out on that because I didn't ask. I didn't know to ask.
Yeah. Well, it's the old thing. Time is money. That sounds like a cliche, but in this case, it is true, because it's your money, and the time that you're not investing it is taking away what you would have gotten in returns. Maybe not a lot, but it would have been more than what you have. And inflation will eat into that as you're waiting.
Right. And even if you think of someone who is, most of us are on biweekly pay schedules. That's pretty standard. And if you're just doing like a $20 transfer out of your paycheck, every paycheck, to a savings account, if you do that for a year, that's $520. You get 26 pays in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, within a couple of years, you have $1,000, $2,000. And that's not accounting for whatever interest you're getting on whatever kind of savings right now. Savings account interest is very low. But once you've done that for a year, most certificates, if you want to invest in something that's a little longer term, a little higher interest, what are traditionally called CDs, they're certificates at credit unions, have a $500 minimum balance. So you do that, transfer to your savings account every payday for a year, and then you have enough, you can move it into a certificate, which would have a higher interest rate. It gets locked in for a certain term. So
what you're comfortable with.
Right, exactly. And then you are earning more money just because you're letting that money sit in a different type of savings vehicle.
And also, you don't have it right. Yes, you can get it back and lose whatever interest you made on it as the penalty, but it's not as readily available as something in your checking account. So you won't be as tempted to spend it, which brings us to another point that you listed here. Don't touch your retirement savings, which is easy to say.
But once you do start saving, if you're making the most of those 401k opportunities with your employer, if you're trying to do that transfer and you're trying to save that away, and you see, oh, my goodness, look, I am making some progress. And you realize, oh, man, we need a new roof, or I want to add this addition onto that. Something comes up and you think, oh, I do have that money in my saving, in my retirement savings, not my regular savings, but my retirement savings. Please, unless it is some kind of dire emergency, please, please.
Well, you know, something Liesl said before we started the program was, and we were talking, there's a difference between a want and a need. If you have an unexpected medical bill, that's a need. If you'd like to put a new kitchen in, that's a want.
Right.
Huge difference, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and it's, again, financial planners and financial advisors can be your best resource when it comes to something like that, especially accessing retirement funds. And they can guide you in a direction to say, look, if you make this decision, these are the trickle-down effects over the next 5 years, 10 years, if you pull out of your retirement savings. They would be much better suited to give you that kind of long-term view of if this is really something you need, if there's no other way to get these funds anywhere else, and you're going to be in trouble if this doesn't get paid for, then these are your options.
Or even I think a financial planner can probably run numbers with you. For instance, say you've managed to save up a whole $5,000. And I know some people right now are saying, oh, it's a piece of cake. I wish I were one of them. Other people are saying, you may as well be asking me to climb Mount Everest to save $5,000. But say you do. Now something comes along and you'd rather spend some of it. The financial planner will say, okay, well, here's your $5,000. Here's what it'll be worth in 5 years, 10 years, presuming typical interest growth. But if you spend that much, now here's what you don't get.
Right.
So that's part of the cost when you spend something you've been saving, I guess.
Exactly. That is true. And when you look at it from kind of the flip side of you currently have this, and if you pull it out, it won't be earning interest, you can also look at that from the angle of maybe you don't have it saved right now, but if you start saving, and I think there is a little breakdown here. If you start saving and accumulate, I think the maximum, the reason this was broken down at $6,500 each year is there's like an IRA contribution limit or some limit that's around that.
Yeah.
And
that's,
so if you put that away,
by the way,
if you put that much away each year, which over the course of like deductions from your paychecks and things like that, you could be earning in 5 years, you could have put away, you know, we're talking with interest, and this shows 7% interest annually, which is, if you look at 401ks that generate on average 5 to 8% annually, that's a fair estimate. In 5 years, looking at $37,000 plus, in 15 years, $163,000 plus, because you're looking at that compounding interest. And that's what a lot of people don't take into account.
Compounding is a wonderful thing. it's almost magical, and it's something that I wish I had more experience with, but don't we all? And I guess that's what you lose when you don't put the stuff away as well.
Yes.
As much as you like to do that.
And if you look at it's millennials are a demographic that was very popular to talk about for a long time. Gen Z is kind of starting to steal the spotlight a little bit. But millennials are now 30 to 45 years old, roughly, depending on what years you use. We're parents. We're taking care of elderly parents. We have a lot on our plates as far as am I saving appropriately for retirement? Because by the time you hit 40, you should have 2 to 3 times your income saved for retirement is kind of the rule of thumb on that. And if
and
you look at your...
It's difficult to do, but...
It is. And if you look at your annual income right now and you look at what you have saved for retirement, is it double your annual income? It very well may not be. There are many millennials that are not at that point yet. And I think a lot of that is a lack of financial education earlier in life.
Yeah.
And
they didn't teach me much about this in school, I have to tell you.
Right.
There were a couple of teachers that were very sharp on it, would occasionally drop something in while we're talking about other things, but it was never the explicit. They didn't even teach you to balance a checkbook. One day we finished a lesson plan and something, and the teacher said, how many people here know how to balance a checkbook? Me and two other people put their hands up because our folks had taught us.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the class was, how do you balance a checkbook? But something that simple is not necessarily simple to some people. because right. they've never had to do it.
And I could not be happier that the state of Pennsylvania recently passed a curriculum requirement for financial literacy for graduating seniors, I believe it is. So, and I don't know exactly when that gets implemented, when that goes into effect, but I think that is going to help the upcoming generations.
If I was aware of it, I'd forgotten it, but at least it's one law I'll actually get behind if they actually teach something decent. Now, we're out of time, and maybe we'll pick this up in the next couple of monthly segments. We do this the fourth Saturday of each month with Liesl Kapphammer. Again, ARC Federal Credit Union, where are your locations?
We are at 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
And your phone number, if people want to talk to you or somebody else there about what they've heard on the show?
814-946-0857. You can call or text.
And the web address is?
arcfcu.org.
All that information is also on the podcast page that we'll be sharing on WRTA.com in a few. From ARC Federal Credit Union, Money Matters, Liesl Kapphammer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.